Genesis 30. The first part of the text, we find the competition. If you recall, in last week's study, Jacob had worked 7 years as he agreed with Laban and earned his wife. And then he woke up the next morning and it was the wrong wife. And so he went to Laban and said, "You tricked me and you gave me the wrong woman." And he said, "Well, she's the older one. She had to go first." And so he worked another 7 years. And he finally was able to marry Rachel, which is the one he really loved. But he ends up with those two wives. Well, Leah has a baby. And in verse number 1 of chapter 30, Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children. And Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." So she's counting on him to provide something that he has no power over, right? Nobody's ever done that to you, have they? Have we ever done that to anybody else, huh? But she puts it on Jacob, "It's your fault." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her. She shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." She gave him Bilhah, her handmaid to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Now, Rachel obviously hadn't read what we read about Abraham and Sarah. But Jacob should have known better. Jacob, you would think that Jacob would have heard this story somewhere back down the line and would have known this is a mistake. This is bad. But he did. He went in and she conceived and bare a son. And so the rest of this chapter talks about the back and forth between Jacob having his children. And verse number 25, "It came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country.'" So he's been here so long and he's established himself and he's established a big family. But what I think is interesting is to look at verse 25, and we know Joseph, right? We know his life. We know what happens later. But all the way from Padanaram, way up to Joseph ends up making a difference in Egypt. And just look at the span of God's control in one family. In one family, what God did with one family in such a great region. And anyway, I just thought that was interesting. But now Joseph is born and Jacob says, "It's time to go home. Give me my wives and my children for whom I serve thee. And let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee." And Laban says in verse 27, "I pray thee, if I found favor in thine eyes, tarry." Look at this. "For I have learned by experience, the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake." And again, the same reference, we look at Joseph and we see that God blessed many because of Joseph. And what we call the Joseph principle is where Joseph was blessed when he was in the governor's home, when he was in the prison, and then, of course, when he rose to power. But that's the blessing. Guys, that should be in each of our lives. Where we work, they should see benefit by our being there. Our home should benefit by our being there. Our church should benefit by our being there. People ought to be able to tell when we're not there. People ought to be able to tell our absence. It ought to be felt. I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean that we ought to bring something with us. And that's the energy and the anointing and the power of God ought to be on our lives. The wisdom of God, the decisions we make, the attitude, it ought to make an impression, an impact around us. And we see here that Laban recognized Jacob's blessing, that Jacob was blessed. Remember, on his way there, God told him he'd be blessed on his way there. And so he went there. He didn't say, "I just came here to get a wife and I'm not going to work." And, you know, he went, he did a hard day's work. He worked hard every day, did the right thing. He treated Laban's money as his own in a good way. You know, he took care of it. He watched every dime. He made it work. And he brought great profit to Laban. And Laban saw the favor of God on Jacob's life. Now, when we see someone who is a Christian and we don't see the favor of God in their life, in that way, the impact, the relationships they have, we need to counsel them. We need to encourage them. We need to try to get them where they need to be. Verse 28, Jacob said, appoint me my wages and I will give it. Laban says, just tell me how much it is and I'll pay it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little, verse 30, which thou hadst before I came. It is now increased unto a multitude. The Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for mine own house also? So Jacob said, look, I've built you an empire, but it's yours. What do I have? I've got a family to take care of, a big family to take care of. But all I'm doing is serving you and making you rich. And at some point, we have to determine our value. Now, I will say this, because I hear people complain about their wages all the time. Number one, I mean, you took the job, right? Number two, if it's worth more, then you ought to ask for a raise. And if they don't give you one, you're that unhappy, go somewhere else. Now, are we in the climate to do that? I think today we are in that climate. You know, if it's about the money, if that's really what it's about, if it's not about the satisfaction and the lifestyle, you know, there's more to life than a paycheck. But let me also say this. The person, we'll use this as an example, that owns that McDonald's has invested $1 million. And you walked in on day one and started taking money home, right? You got that paycheck, you worked your 8 hours, you got paid every day. How long do you think it took that investment of $1 million to get paid back? And people don't think about that. They just think, well, I came to work and I ought to be able to make $15 an hour. That's the magic number today for some reason. And it doesn't matter. They don't care if it kills the business. They don't care if it destroys the profits. And when I dealt with that in business, and it was hard to explain, even to managers that were paid better than anybody in their class, in their field, that when it came time, they wanted more money. And I said, y'all don't understand. You're going to eat the goose, and the eggs are going to quit being laid. And at some point, you got to realize they've got an investment. Now, Jacob had a good point because he had come in to what was small and built it into something great. And he said, I haven't recouped my investment of my time because my time's worth something. My energy is worth something, right? So balance that out. Anybody in here mad at your wages? Everybody pretty happy? Okay. That's right, yeah. And I was reading in, I think it was in 1 Timothy, where Paul was telling him, you know, about people. He said, look, that's the deal you made. Don't complain about your boss. I know that that's not easy for everybody. Don't complain about your boss. Jacob got in there and he put his nose to the grindstone. He did his hard work. He built an empire. And now he sits back and he says, hold on a second. I built it for him and I got nothing to show. Well, we're going to see what happens. Laban cuts him in. He ends up being very wealthy when he walks away. But it was like Brother Ronnie said, you made your deal. I'm watching right now a union going to task with their city and trying to have a public campaign about we don't get paid enough. Well, I happen to know differently. But I'm keeping my nose out of it because I'm not in that union or that city. but it is interesting to watch how people will poor mouth when things are pretty good. And it is sometimes just a matter of they see that, well, the guy at the top makes more money than I do. Well, you know what you could do? Work your way to the top. That's how it works. Anyway. So Jacob makes a deal. He says, look, why don't I take the animals in verse number... Let's look at verse 32. I'll pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep, the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. Now, it's not ordinary for these animals to be speckled and spotted. They're normally got a full coat, full color. And so he was taking the smaller portion, and he said, just let me take this little small percentage. And Laban agreed with that. Well, what we're going to see happens after a period of time is that the speckled and the spotted actually outnumbered the solid colored. But that's, again, the favor of God in his life. Verse 41, it came to pass whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters that they might conceive among the rods. And when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle and maidservants and men servants and camels. So he's just built his empire. This is Jacob, built his empire. He's already built Laban's, and now he's building his own. Verse 31. He heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. So now there's this jealousy. And that happens, doesn't it? You know, hopefully, we're not the type that sees somebody get a new car and get jealous. Why don't we should celebrate that if somebody gets a new car, or a new house, or a new job, or whatever. We shouldn't get jealous over other people obtaining things, or a promotion, or a raise, or whatever it is. Why do we allow that to hurt us? And I've told you this story before, but when I was in Fort Lauderdale, I went in and asked for a raise. And the boss said to me, are you in here asking for a raise? Because Bob got a raise. And I said, I didn't even know Bob got a raise. What Bob makes is none of my business. I'm in here asking for a raise because I work hard every day, and anytime anybody in here needs something, they ask me. And I want a raise. And I got a raise. And I think that is the only raise I've ever asked for. But I got it because I had earned it. And by the way, I wouldn't have quit if they'd have said no. I just thought it was time for me to get one. Verse 2, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. So things have changed. It shifted. Whose idea was it for Jacob to stay? It was his idea. But now, as time goes on, his attitude is different. He doesn't want Jacob there anymore. In one part, in the other part, he's being selfish. He doesn't want his daughters and his grandchildren to leave. How many of you can relate to that? So you can appreciate where Laban's kind of in this quandary. And the Lord said to Jacob, verse 3, return to the land of thy fathers, to thy kindred, and I will be with thee, which he'd already told him, I'll be with you. Jacob sent, called Rachel, Leah, to the field, to his flock. So in private, and he said to them, I see your father's countenance. It is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that with all my power I have served your father. Your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. So he says he's changed his wages 10 times. We know of 3, right? 3 times. But it's time for him to go. He says to his wives, it's time for us to get out of here. And we know that Laban's attitude has changed. And now Jacob wants to leave, but what's Laban going to do? He's going to get mad because he doesn't want him to leave. Why? Because as much as he may be jealous of him and as much as he may not like him, he's benefiting from Jacob's presence because of the favor of God in Jacob's life. And the angel, verse 11, and the angel of God spake to me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. He said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee from this land, return to the land of thy kindred. How long has he been there? About 20 years? How did he get there? Remember what happened? Remember why he went there? To get a wife? To get away from his brother. It was a combination of things. But the main thing is his mama said, you got to get out of here. Your brother's going to kill you. And so he escaped. He got there and he found Rachel and he ends up getting married. And remember what his mother told him when she told him to run away? She said, it'll just be a few days. Esau is angry right now. He's full of bitterness and hate and murder in his heart. And so just get away. Let's let him calm down. And as soon as he's no longer angry, I will send for you. You remember that? 20 years ago. And she hadn't sent for him. And we're going to learn as we continue that Esau is not angry anymore. And yet Jacob has been displaced and no word has come and said, hey, it's time to come home. The only reason he's going home now is because the Lord has spoken to him and said, it's time to come home. Why? Well, because his inheritance is not in Padan Aram. His inheritance is Israel. But I found that very interesting that in 20 years, Mama never sent word. And maybe she thought it was better that way. Maybe she thought, well, as long as he's there, there's no stress and no tension and there's no fighting and just let him have his own. I'm sure he's doing fine. Verse 17, Jacob rose and set his sons and his wives upon camels and carried them all. He carried away all his cattle, all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. Verse 19, Laban went to shear sheep. Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. So as Jacob's getting ready to go back and carry all of his family with him to the land of Israel, God's people, she reaches back and grabs an idol and holds on to the past and holds on to that pagan idea and that pagan worship to bring it into the promised land. It's so important. And you know, God said about Adam and Eve, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. It's so important that we establish in our lives, and I know I look around, everybody here is already at that point, but we could pass it on. Especially when it comes to marriage, we've got to make sure that we're not pulling things out of the past that's going to hurt the future. And that's exactly what she was doing. She was pulling from the past, from her culture, things that were not going to help her down the road. And we got to stop holding on to that stuff. Verse 22, it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. He took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey and overtook him in the Mount Gilead. But God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said to him, take heed, thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. So Laban knows the will of God, but he's also got the flesh, right? How many of you ever struggle between the will of God and the flesh? So God has clearly spoken to him. I mean, that would be great if God would just come speak to us clearly, wouldn't it? Just come to us in a dream, tell us exactly what to do, or tell us to say nothing, as he did for Laban. Verse 26, Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Now, has he spoken to him either good or bad? He had to get his little dig in, didn't he? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and songs, with tabret and with harp? We could have celebrated. Is that what would have happened? People are full of it, aren't they? They just say things. They just, oh, if you'd have done it this way, and it's easy to say now because there's no way to undo it. no way to back up and do it over again. Verse 28, hast not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake to me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Sounds like he's a little beyond that, isn't he? He tempers it. He says, look, I could do more, but God told me not to. But when God speaks to us, when we know God's will, when we know right from wrong, let's stop before, instead of taking it right up to the edge and saying, well, I could go further, but I'm a Christian. How about we back it up and just be a Christian from the beginning? Just back it up. But Laban had to get his digs in. He had to, you know, vent his flesh. In verse 30, and now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? You've taken something that belongs to me. You've taken my idols. He said, I get it. You want to go back to your people, but you've taken my stuff. Jacob says, oh, I didn't take anything from you. Everything I took is mine, my wives, my children, my cattle, my camels. None of it's yours. He said, no, there's some idols missing out of my house. And we find that Rachel put them in a box and sat on that box. And she said, when her dad came in, they were looking in her tent. And she says, I can't get up for him in the time of woman. And so I excuse me for not standing up. And she sat right there on top of that box, and that's where everything was hidden. And so she's able to get away with bringing that culture, that idol worship, that false god with her into the future and into her new home, into her new culture. Of course, when they don't find it, now Jacob's mad. I told you I didn't take anything. Here you are chasing after me like a common criminal, and I've not done anything wrong. Verse 44, chapter 31. Now therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, let it be for a witness between me and thee. Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. They took stones and made a heap. They did eat there upon the heap. Laban called it Yeger Shadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Now, what do they mean? They both terms mean the same thing, and it is heap of witness, or, you know, they've made a tower of stones, and that is their witness, their monument, their memorial of their covenant. The difference is that one is in Hebrew, and then one is in Chaldean, because Laban would speak Chaldean, and Jacob would speak Hebrew. And so they use different names. It means the same thing. It represents the same thing. Verse 49, and Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent from one another. So it's called Mizpah also, because not only is it a covenant between the two of them, but also God is watching. And so that was important to incorporate there. Verse 52, this heap shall be a witness, this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee. Thou shalt not pass over this heap, this pillar to me. Two words, for harm. The covenant is not that they'll never cross paths again. The covenant is that they'll never cause harm to one another. All right. Chapter 32. So they go on their way. In verse number 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Jacob saw them. He said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, to the land of Seir in the country of Edom. So we're traveling from way up at Panorama, Syria, all the way down in this place in Seir, and Edom is Jordan. So traveling down that east side of the Jordan River and such as that. So that he sends word. He's trying to get ahead of it and contact Esau ahead of time. Verse 6, the messengers returned to Jacob and said, "We came to thy brother, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Oh, he's coming. And he's bringing 400 friends with him. Look at that next verse. And Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. Why? What's that? Because they didn't leave on good terms? Okay. It just doesn't know the unknown. G-U-I-L-T. Guilt. He knows what he did was wrong. He knows the last he knew, right, 20 years ago. And I don't want to ask you, but can you imagine somebody from 20 years, your past, something, when y'all ended on bad terms and they show up to church this morning? They walk in the door. Are you going to run up and be so happy they're here? Or are you going to come sit up here in front of Barbara and hide? He's still carrying this guilt. He's established a life, a whole new life. How many of you have chapters of your life that are completely different from other chapters in your life? Yeah. I mean, we compare the two and we say, well, this is Derek in, you know, this year, and this is Derek in this year, and they're two different people. By the way, it should be that way. It should be, like Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I acted as a child. But now I'm grown. So I put away childish things. We should all be growing. In fact, this year's chapter should be different than last year's chapter. There may not have been a whole lot written last year. We were all locked up. But there needs to be two different chapters, two different people. Jacob has done that, and yet, because of his guilt, he's still stuck 20 years ago. Guys, we've got to let go of that guilt. We've got to get past it. But as much as he's done and as much as he's accomplished, there's this sin in his past that he is afraid is going to come back to haunt him. That's no way to live. It's really not. But he sends for Esau. Esau's coming. He's got 400 people with him. Jacob's scared to death. He divides everything up in two bands in verse number 7. And he says in verse 8, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, the other company which is left shall escape. I mean, he's that afraid. And his opinion of his brother is that he's vindictive, that he's violent, murderous, full of hate. Now, why? Because the last chapter he saw of Esau, Esau was that guy. And while he's changed in 20 years and he's grown in 20 years, he doesn't see that Esau has grown also. So not only do we need to allow others to let go of who we used to be, and we need to let go of that, we need to let go of who others used to be. I know that they didn't used to do right. They didn't used to behave. They didn't used to walk with God. But that was before. Let's give them a chance. Let's give them the opportunity in our minds that they can grow and that they can change. Verse 9, Jacob said, "O God, my father, God of my father Abraham and of my father Isaac, the Lord which says to me, return to thy country, to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee." Hold on a second. So if that promise is there, shouldn't that cover everything he's going to go through? Should he be afraid on this journey? He knows he's supposed to get there. He knows that God told him that's what's going to happen. And yet he's scared. He's living in fear. He's paralyzed by fear. Verse 10, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed to thy servant. With my staff I passed over this Jordan. Now I'm become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he'll come and smite me and the mother with the children. Thou saidst, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Remember when he was in Bethel and he saw the angels ascending and descending? And he said, I was in the presence of God. God was here. I'm in the house of God and I didn't even know it. But he said, if God will go with me and bring me back again, then he'll be my God. And now he's gone in success for 20 years. On his way back, the Lord has spoken to him again and said, it's time to go, and I'm going to bless you. And yet now just this one name, this one person is enough to send him upside down in fear again. And let me tell you something. I get it. I understand. I hope that you don't have anybody in your life that can flip you that easily. But Jacob hears the name Esau, and he knows he's coming, and he is terrified. But he goes to God in prayer, as he should have. He divides the people. In fact, he breaks them up in little clans and sends them forward. So as Esau is coming to meet Jacob, he passes a group. Who are you? He says, well, we're with Jacob. And Jacob sends all of this for you, Esau. And he comes to the next band. Who are y'all? Well, we're with Jacob. And this is all that he's sending for you. So he keeps passing these groups of people and animals and stuff. And they all said, hey, we're here to, this is a gift. Verse 18, then shalt thou say, they be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. Behold, he is behind us. And so he sees all this. In verse 22, he rose up that night, took two wives, two women servants, 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. So as Jacob is there, he's all by himself. And he wrestles till the break of day. With whom? With Jesus. He wrestles with Jesus. Verse number 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So they've just struggled all night, wrestled all night, and can't break free, and finally he twists him out of shape. Verse 26, he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. He said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. As he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted his thigh. So Jacob has traveled. He's healthy. He's strong. He's able to wrestle all night and not be beaten. But then in the morning, now his hip is out of joint. The hollow of his thigh, it says there. And now we get this picture of all these bands, of all his servants, and all his family passing before him, coming along toward Esau, and Esau is greeting each one. Who are you? Well, this is all for you. This is from Jacob. This is all for you. This is from Jacob. And now here comes Jacob, showing little signs now, isn't he? He's no longer the young, capable man that he was. Now he's got something that's going to go with him for the rest of his life. That little reminder of the night he wrestled with the Lord. Verse number 3 of chapter 33. He passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. When that person from your past walks in those doors, that's the way we should greet them. No matter what happened 20 years ago. Because we've all grown since then. We've all changed since then. So when we walk away from that attitude and that haunting of 20 years ago, we're able to form new relationships. And Esau was ready for that. And Jacob was scared of that. Verse 5, he lifted up his eyes and saw the women, the children, and said, "Who are these with thee?" He said, "The children which God has graciously given thy servant." And they came near. Verse 8, he said, "What meanest thou by all this drove which I met?" He said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast to thyself." Remember God's promise to Esau was that Jacob would rule, but that Esau would come into dominion himself. That bond, that dominion would be over him from Jacob, but he would reach a point where it was gone. Esau has done that. He's self-sufficient, independent. He says, "Jacob, I don't need your stuff." Jacob says, "Take it. Just take it. Please take it." He says, "No, I don't need it." He said, "Please take it." He said, "Fine, I'll take it." Verse 17, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth, which is booths. Questions? Comments? Did we miss anything y'all wanted to talk about? Let's take a break.